all should know by now.
All right.
That it's only the help from the Lord that helps us to go day by day. As the enemy comes up against us, it is he that provides a hedge of protection around us each and every day.
All right.
We ought to be glad this morning that we serve a God who is able to keep us continually. We bless his name today. We bless his name. Hallelujah. Mm.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Our text for this morning, it comes from the book of Jeremiah. We're going to look at a couple of passages. We're going to read a couple of passages, but our background text where we'll kind of spend a little bit of time is Jeremiah the 8th chapter. So the first scripture that we're going to read this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22.
All right.
Jeremiah 8, verse 22. It reads as thus. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The second scripture is found in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It reads as thus. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Our subject for this morning is there a balm for the world today?
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
To our pastor, Pastor J. Omas Jones, for his continuing guidance, his continuing encouragement to me as a minister of the gospel, and to each and every one of us that are here and serve you in a ministerial capacity. To Mother Jones for her sterling example that she constantly sets. It is a pleasure and an honor to just be a member of this church and to see how there are still some that stay with the standard of the old time church. So I thank God for them today. And for you, the friendship family, you too are an example. And it is your encouragement and the hope that the word must continue to go forth, that we would all be who God has called each and every one of us to be. And certainly not least, but to my fellow co-laborers in the gospel. Thank all of you for being here today and being present in the house of the Lord. Our text comes from the book of Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah was the son of a priest. It is he that was foreknown of God while he was yet in his mother's womb. And he was set apart to be a prophet unto the nations.
Yeah.
We often hear Jeremiah 1 and 5 that says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah served the people of Judea for more than 40 years. His ministry began during the reign of King Josiah, who was a king that did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He followed after the ways of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left hand. Jeremiah's ministry ended during the fall of Jerusalem. And thus, he is known as the weeping prophet. You see, he wept as he saw the Lord's people move from godliness to apostasy. He wept as he delivered the Lord's messages of pending judgment. Our backdrop for this morning sits in Jeremiah chapter 8. And we need to look at Jeremiah chapter 8 because it is kind of a summary of the preceding chapters of Jeremiah. So if you would turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8 and make sure that you follow along, for we want to ensure that we know that what the word is being spoken is what the word says. In verse 3, Jeremiah says that the people of Judea are choosing death rather than life. You see, the people are rejecting the Lord. In verse 5, he says that the people have backslidden. They have become in a situation where they are perpetually backsliding. You see, it's never ending. It's never changing. Those that once professed the Lord have turned aside, or either they've gone back to a life of sin. They are living during a time of spiritual indifference. Indifference meaning that there's lack of interest, lack of concern, lack of sympathy. In fact, it could be said that they were apathetic to the world. They turned from the true and living God to worship the heathen gods. Jeremiah preached and told the people what God said, but they did not listen. They kept doing whatever they wanted to do. You see, they chose to follow the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They held fast to deceit and they refused to return. Verse 6 tells us that there was no repentance from the wickedness that they did. They failed to realize that in Psalms 14 verses 2 through 3, that the Lord looks down from heaven on all people, on the entire human race, and he sees whether or not anyone is truly seeking God. And it further tells us that everyone had turned away. They had become corrupt. No one was doing good. Not a single one. Everyone had returned to his course as a horse that runs into battle. For when the first horse takes off, all of the horses then proceed. Verse 7 says that the people didn't know the ways of the Lord. He likened the people. He compared them to the birds of the air. You see, the birds of the air understand what God is doing. And so they know that in wintertime they fly south. But this people that were God's chosen people, they did not know the ways of the Lord. They could not see that there was a pending judgment that was coming upon them for their sinful nature. And verse 9, he tells us that even the priests, the men of God, had rejected the word of the Lord. In fact, it references us back to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22, where it says that they were wise men, but yet they were foolish. They were silly because they had no understanding. They were wise to do evil, but they have no knowledge of doing that which was good. When I read this text, it made me think about America today. America, where hatred abounds. America, where just the other day, 11 elderly people were slain in a synagogue. America, where a series of 16 pipe bombs were mailed to Democrats because they have the wrong political affiliation. America, where a country music dance hall packed with college students, where fire was opened. In fact, that was the 307th mass shooting that took place in America in 311 days. That's almost an average of one deadly incident a day. In fact, this year, four of the largest mass shootings took place in the last 50 years. We see fires ravaging California. The death toll is somewhere in the range of 85. And at one point, there was over 1,000 people missing. Think that number has now come down to about 400. There is a turning away from the church in the America that we live in today. In fact, since 2013, when the law for the federal defense of marriage was struck down, there are now 37 states that have legalized same-sex marriage. Only 13 remain. And 8 of the 13 are now being challenged in court. Gallup poll studies say that significantly more Americans choose not to identify with a religious affiliation. In fact, many more are saying that religion is not very important in their lives at all. And of the people that choose to identify as evangelical Christians, only about 38% choose to attend church on a weekly basis. So when we read about these things, we see with our very own eyes what's happening today. It leads me to ask the question, is there a bomb for the world today? How does a nation move from a place of apostasy back to godliness? And on a personal note, how does a person move from a place where no good thing is going on, as Pastor preached last week, from a place of living in Lodabar to a place where they can sit with the king? How can those who are still hurting from the fall move from Lodabar? Is there a bomb for the nation? Is there a bomb for me? Is there a bomb for you? The answer is yes. There is a bomb for each of us. And it is found in the loving kindness of the Lord. How does his loving kindness heal us, preacher? We are hurting today. We don't know how to move from one place to the other. We know that God's loving kindness is always seeking to communicate with his people. In fact, even in Jeremiah, God was seeking to communicate with the people of Judah. In Jeremiah 7 and 13, the Lord says that he was speaking to them early in the morning. He says, but you didn't hear. I called you, but you did not answer. The Lord is speaking to us, friendship. He is speaking today. Do you hear him? If you hear him speaking, are you answering him? Through his loving kindness, he's told us that he will never leave us. It was the same promise that he gave Abraham in the beginning. That same promise rings true to his people today. In Jeremiah 30 and 11, he tells them, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee." He's here for us to save us. He's never going to leave or forsake us. Through the lens of his loving kindness, he sees our wounds. He sees our hurts. He sees our brokenness. He sees our shame. He also sees our sin. But for those that are called his very own, when he sees us, he sees his child. Jeremiah 30, verses 12 through 13. The Lord says that their bruise is incurable. Their wounds are grievous. There is none to plead thy cause. But thou mayest be bound up. For you don't have, I don't have, we don't have the healing medicine that it requires. But the Lord has the healing medicine that is required. Far too often, we choose to try to mend our own wounds. We choose to listen at self-help. Yeah. We choose to listen at self-help. That says, you know, if you exercise, if you meditate, you know, it'll be all right. You just need to calm your nerves. Maybe you just need to exercise a little bit more. And certainly I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with those things. But the wounds that are in our souls, only the Lord can heal those wounds. Friendship, we need to go back to the old landmark. We need to return to the things of old. Because truly, it is only the Lord that can heal our sin-sick souls. It is he that can bind up those wounds that still lay open. Through his loving kindness, he restores us. Jeremiah 30 and 17, he says, "For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." We have to seek the Lord. The Lord, in his loving kindness, Jeremiah 31, 3 and 4, he's drawing us to him. We sit. We wonder, why are these things happening? They're happening because the Lord has to move us back to him. In Jeremiah chapter 18, we're all familiar with the story of the potter. The potter uses his will to shape and to mold his people. That's all circumstances, all events. As a people of God, we're quick to say all things work together for the good. The things that are happening today are to help move us, God's people, back to Him. To move us from a place of spiritual indifference. You see, the people of God look now too much like the people of the world. So God uses situations, circumstances to draw us back to Him. Just like He utilized nations invading nations in the lives of the people of Judah to move them back to Him. We are the Lord's people. We are in His hand. But He will do what He wills to the vessels that are in His hands, to shape, to mold us to be what He would have us to be. He uses the ups. He uses the downs to draw His children back to Him. He's trying to move us to a place where we will show and demonstrate the same loving kindness towards others that He has demonstrated to us. Pastor preached to us last week a very personal example of David showing loving kindness to Mephibosheth. That's what God is looking for in each and every one of us. He's using it to draw us to Him, to the sinner man. He uses the cross, for it is that cross that was used on Calvary to draw man to it. Those that have not accepted Him as their Savior. For it was in that same hour that the Son of Man was glorified. For it was then that John 12 and 32 rang true. For He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. For it was on that Friday that the Savior was marched up a hill called Golgotha, and He was placed on an old rugged cross. You see, they riveted His hands, and they riveted His feet, and they lifted Him high, and they stretched Him wide. And there on that cross, He hung His head and He died. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. And for 3 days, He stayed in that borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, He got up with all power in His hand. In His every one of us. In his hands was the power to restore each and every one of us. We ought to be glad today, friendship, that we serve a mighty God, a Lord that has all power in his hands. It's the same power that ought to make us live right. It's that same power that ought to make us walk right. It's that same power that ought to make us go on and tell a dying world that the Son of Man lives.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Friendship.
Glory.
The Lord, he still sits on the throne. But he's calling his people to be more like him.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now is the time. If you haven't accepted him as your personal Savior, he calls to you today. Come. Come. If you're here today and you're humble enough to admit that you've backslidden, that you're not all that the Lord would have you to be, that you know that you're living in a place of Lodabar.
Glory, glory.
Come today. Come. While the blood is still running warm in your veins, choose life. You have